All right, welcome, gang. So we're going to look at some live market analysis here. And as you can see, I've been teaching a class ongoing here for the last couple of weeks, dealing with a particular strategy that I trade a lot. And so I took this trade here as a sim over on this account just to show traders what that strategy looks like. It's a strong reversal type of strategy. I had a number of examples that we did live from earlier today, but heading into class here, I thought it might be kind of cool for you guys to see, what we're looking at in terms of things that trigger a trade and manage the trade as it progresses. So on our larger time frame, the trade that we have is called a 2T, and it's a type of reversal pattern here. Let me grab my pen. And what we're looking at is a move where we get a momentum kind of shift, breaks the channel. We get two kind of measured moves up, and the short is actually a trigger right there. Now, what we have working against this, of course, is that the overall market is really strong. So we're really looking down at scalp type of time frames for setups right now. But this is a good reversal pattern for, something to apply to when the markets are going and doing more back and forth type of action here. So a basic template for that pattern looks like this. You get your two wave correction in here, which we have right here. And then we get the two wave movement back up, which is what we have right here. And that channel break gives us the trigger. So this is what we have happening right now in the overall market. It's just that it's on a small time frame and you're playing against larger time frame momentum. So this adds another element of risk to the trade. And what it does is it means that in managing a position, you want to be a lot more aggressive. So one of the things that you'll see me do that happened here on this to begin with is that I'll go ahead and protect part of my position. So the 2T triggered right here. This is the avalanche portion for a trigger here. And then you can see how momentum is kind of shifting as it's coming into the support level over here. So that would trigger taking partials off. And in this case, we're looking at such a tiny setup. It's about a 5-point move, nothing big. Usually I'm going to be trading this on a much larger time scale, but it's always awesome to see things play out on smaller time scales because you start to see, hey, what's going to give me an additional risk? How can I move my stop levels to compensate for, giving this the potential to go even further? So right now, this is trying to do what we call a check mark that can offer another breakdown from the setup, but it's really, really tight trading range here. So what that also means is that it can trigger it, flush it, and then go. So a lot of traders get stuck on breakdowns like this only to see things pull up, take out stop levels, and then go as a continuation move. On the larger time frame up here, we are in a zone that we call a widening up zone because, oh, and there you can see we came right back into that other support level here. So this widening up zone here means that overall our momentum is really strong still, but we are expecting that we can get more of the back and forth movement coming into play. So I will do trading live in my classes over noon. I'm often entering a class with a trade on here. So this is an example of what I will do with my live education. So when we're looking at a 2T type of strategy going into an avalanche, again, on this, I was a little late, I was logging into the room here. So I took the avalanche portion. And what we normally do is we look for things like levels like this where we can go and we can add back into the position. So, oops, crazy line there. So we can add into the position. This is coming right into the other target level in here. And I'm going to kind of widen this up. A lot of times as we come into a zone, if it's stalling, I'll just go and hit the close button. But what we're looking at for a target zone here is what we call a T3 zone. So it's a channel zone right here. And here's the main pattern. Here's that 2T. So remember we had the two wave correction in here. Let me widen it so you can see a little bit better. Just this portion here. So we've got the 2T, the two wave move up. The trigger for the 2T is here. And then we go into this smaller kind of two wave base here. This triggers the avalanche. This is a level we call T2. It's another level of support here. And it starts at the upper end of this channel and goes to the lower end of the channel. If you have something that is stalling before it makes it to that upper end of T2, it is harder for it to go as an immediate continuation. So what we expect instead are things like it could risk doing a smaller 2T, popping up and flushing out again. So that would have happened right about here. It would have given you spacing here to here to here to give that extra pop up there and then triggered the continuation of the setup on the downside. So on the next continuation, what we have is a bigger avalanche setup. And this is one where the range is so tight here. We actually have free spacing, good spacing here, but the range is so tight that we do have a better chance of a flush, a pop that can take out these previous highs and then go and do what we're anticipating to go in the first place. The symbol that I have up here, this is the micro NQ. So I'm just giving you a live example of, you know, some of the things that we look at. This isn't perfect according to how I trade them live, just because I'm not trying to talk at the same time. So what we're going with here are target levels that are based upon zones over here as support levels. And what you want to look at is as things begin to move, look for things such as measured movements. So often an avalanche goes into a 1-2-3, meaning here's our avalanche for the breakdown, goes into a 1-2-3, and then it goes into what we call a widening up zone. So the 1-2-3 is really this portion here today. And then we're in the widening up zone right now. So anyways, you know, kind of just a quick analysis of something that was happening here live in the markets. It's always good to look for things where you can add into them, add back into them, where you're taking partials and then adding back in, because it lowers, it's basically like lowering your center of gravity, right? It lowers what your overall risk is going to be on the trade. So those are things that I didn't get done on this one, but you can still see the core basic movement of the strategy. So it's a really strong reversal pattern. So when we're looking at trends that have been going on for quite a while on the upside, these are the things that we want to look at for reversals. And on a smaller time frame, they're great for scalping, but you can also find them on much larger time frames like the daily chart as well. The platform that I'm using right here is called NinjaTrader. It's a combination of broker with charting platform. One of the tools I use on here is a Fibonacci fan. It's something that I use a great deal in my trading. Right now, NinjaTrader doesn't offer it as a built-in, but I do have it as an add-on indicator. And what we use that for is for identifying support and resistance levels for target levels and for entering a position. So for example, here's this is a trade that I had this morning where I was looking at this as a continuation here. And on some of the timeframes, this is a line chart. On some of the timeframes, it actually comes in and hits that 76.4% Fib band. So what we're looking at is two nice little levels of correction, but they're pretty low. So this has a higher probability of then going into that 1-2-3, treating this as kind of a tilted Phoenix, going into a 1-2-3. And I had a class today between 12 and 1. And what we were looking at was for this to go into another base and then offer the continuation into the afternoon. So we've been pretty bullish here throughout all of our session today. The add-on program is called Trade Tracker. Let me put the link in for you and I'll show you how important this is. It is tonyhanson.com/trade tracker. And it is for $79, but it also includes a course on how to use it. So there's a course on how to use the platform in there that's free, included with the $79 indicator. So when we're using our Fib bands like this, I'm often aiming for this zone, which is the 23.6, 27.2% level. If it comes into that really, really strongly, like what you see right here, then it has a very good probability of retesting that level. So you might see it as a resistance and say, oh my gosh, I'm going to take all of my gains off because that's my target zone. Well, at this point, I often go into smaller trade management, you know, taking partials, adding in again on pullbacks, taking partials, adding in on again on pullbacks, and kind of again lowering that center of gravity on my trade so that it has a good chance to give me stronger gains again, but without much risk on how I've added onto it. So this add-on with the trade tracker that you're asking about, you can use it on any time frame, any security. So you could be trading stocks, you could be trading futures, forex, whatever. It's just a really, really strong tool. I'll show you another one. I had one more trade this morning on the Russell. And ironically, it was like the exact opposite of what some of the overall market was doing at that time. And I'll show you how to apply that here. So here's our Russell. This is the micro one. But if you look up here, you see this kind of slower overall channel down after that amazing breakout out of the open and this two wave correction right here. So the interesting thing about the Russell here this morning and about all of the indices right now is they're not really trading in sync as much as they often have in the past. So we're seeing things that are kind of in their own little zones. So when I'm looking at those fib fan levels, what I want to see is in this one, let me remove the drawing so you can see it a little bit more clearly. I'm looking at the downside move here and I'm looking at the size of that move. So this is an advanced application of the fib fan where what I want to see is because this pulls up in a shorter period of time than the downside move and it has a movement of only about 50%. I want that 50% fib fan here to hook up with this first pivot high. And then that gives me a trigger zone for the short, for the reversal. So you're able to get these entry triggers at really, really good levels because you're combining it with the fib fans. And a typical fib fan, if this is your uptrend movement, usually traders are taking their fib fans from here to here, right? And looking for support levels coming off of that. But there's a lot of advanced rules. So if you're just doing that over and over again, you're going to be like, well, these are bunk. They don't work. They work sometimes and then they don't work other times. That's because it takes a long time to learn how to use an indicator properly and which situations to apply it to, when to move it, when to not move it. So I do offer a lot of really great advanced education on my site for that. And I have a class that I do every single day at noon. It's called League of Traders, noon to one, where we do basically what I did as we were starting our class. We do live market analysis, but teaching at the same time. So that's called League of Traders. And what I want to do with our session here today is just show you some of those tools and techniques as they apply to what we're seeing happening in the market right now. Now, Trade Tracker is only with NinjaTrader. It's NinjaTrader specific, but a lot of other trading platforms already have Fibonacci fans built into them. So you don't need to buy an additional indicator for them. So we did it because it didn't have one in there. And it's such an awesome tool for knowing if you're too early or too late when you're getting into or out of a trade, especially getting into a trade. So it can help you understand, hey, you know what? This hasn't developed long enough. And if I enter it now, I'm more likely to be stuck in a trap. So that's a huge bonus for using those Fibonacci fans, is it really helps with timing on them. So here we actually have another Phoenix, a little tiny baby in what we call a check mark. This is not a pattern that has, you know, a really big gain on it here because we're on such a small time frame. But it is one where, I'll grab my pen again, you got a nice strong pullback. This is called a momentum reversal here. And then you get your two-way correction. And that triggers your Phoenix setup. So it's one of those core setups. It's the opposite of the avalanche. The avalanche would look like this. So if this comes down in here, we go into like a two-way correction like that. And that's where we would get an avalanche trying to form. So, not the best zone for it because overall your time correction would look like this. So, you would really have to get immediate follow through. And again, we're fighting that bigger time frame today. You know, the queen, which is our larger by momentum, is very strong on the larger time frame. So, corrective moves tend to be shorter and not go quite as far, even though they can fall quickly because of panic setting in. They don't always go as far. So on something like this here, if you're going to add your fib fan on it, this is a really extreme impulse move. Fib fans are not going to work as well when you're dealing with a very extreme impulse move. So let me show you what that would look like. If I'm putting my fib fan from that low to this high here, look at where that 76.4% is hitting. It's not serving as a good support level at all for this. Now, sometimes you'll get a little bit of a reaction off of it, just like right here. There's a little bit of a reaction, but it's nothing that is really giving us that good continuation. So when it is extreme like that, look at that first pullback zone. And if it pulls back 50% or less, you're going to shift your fib band like this. Now, what we have to watch for though is if it breaks this fan like this, is it still going to have a high probability to be able to flip back up and keep going? In your best setups, you guys, this is going to react right off of that zone. When you have a really extreme move like this, using your fib fan isn't going to be as useful. And this is how we would make that shift. But it has to come bounce right back up and immediately then go into the channel break to trigger the setup. So your main risk with this kind of little flush here is that it pops back up, but then it just kind of keeps going like that. So watching where you're at in that larger trend is really crucial. So in this, we're trying to go into a check mark. Now it's right in the middle of this pullback here. Your best check mark would be to base at the upper end here. So it would look like this. If this is your pullback here, you're coming back up, you get your base right here. So this is where you would want that base. If instead what you see happen is it comes up and it bases here, which is what we saw right here, then you've got a better chance that it could have a fake break and go install on you. But if it's going to work out, it will do this. It'll come up, do a secondary base, and then go so that you end up with those two main waves of correction. And that's actually exactly what we saw happening here, but it's also what we saw happening the other day coming off of the lows as well. So let me see if I can show you that time frame again. So we had it to some extent here this morning and to some extent over here as well, but we've seen it a lot. So in this one, it comes up, it based, and then it did the secondary move with a pullback and then went. But the whole key thing here is that you're getting these zones of like these two lower level corrections and then the rapid move coming out of that. And it's really important that the move actually picks up momentum very, very quickly. So what we're looking at for reversals are things like this, where it goes, if this is at like that halfway point or less, as opposed to a base up here, you want to see it popping, doing the secondary correction, and then immediately taking off. So you go into more of that one, two, three that we're seeing a lot of here today. So things to watch are, is it, as it comes up to the upper end of that trading range, is there any sort of reaction at that level? You do not want much reaction at that level because that makes it more of a trap that it could flip back around. Can it still keep going? Yes, but it makes the probability that you've got a really good entry much more difficult because in order for it to keep going, you usually want a bigger initial move here and then shorter corrections and movement right here. So if this is coming up to that upper end of the channel like this, and it starts to react, it needs to hold that channel again. And then you can get it taking off. So this becomes basically a decapitated inverse head and shoulders. But this initial move here has to be bigger than this in order for that continuation to work as easily like that. So if it's the same, then much greater risk that it's going to hold the upper end of the channel. So we're seeing a lot of that here today with our really stellar upside moves. The main risk that we have at this point in trading is that when your momentum like this is so strong, there's going to be cases where it can do a really good whiplash, but there's also many situations where it just chops like that. So we call these extreme impulse moves levels where we need to start to look for what we would call widening up zone. So that means that this could go back and forth many different ways without really developing a strong setup on that particular time frame. Everything would be triggering on smaller time frames, and you have a lot greater risk that things can open up, that you'll start to get more back and forth type of action, and not a reverse impulse move that has as strong as that upside did. So you're more likely to get something like this over here, where you've got the strong impulse move and then it chops, or the strong impulse move and it still manages to go higher, but it chops. That's a lot more common. So as we head into, the rest of our trading day here, and we're heading into tomorrow, there's a greater risk for things to start to chop around more. And you want to be a lot more cautious in terms of the patterns that you're looking for. So here is that widening up that I was talking about as we were just starting. And this is that extreme impulse move. So with that, this back and forth action here is that widening up. So the short that, I did just to use as a teaching example is right here. And we were in that bigger widening up zone, which does mean that back and forth action is a lot easier to come in. So what are some of the things that you guys want to look at? What are some of the markets that you want me to look at here today? And show you some of the things that fall into how I make a decision on a trade. And it can be a larger time frame, smaller time frame, whatever thing you like to trade. That's actually another little baby 2T right there. This is another baby setup. So just like the one right here, this is another one right here. That's the trigger for the short there. Your ES. So we've also got that same exhaustion with your kind of comparable impulse moves, learn for a little bit more. But overall, you're still in this trading range. So when you're looking at reversal patterns and you're still in a trading range within that trading channel, the odds of it doing a full on reversal are harder. It can happen and it happens a lot, but it is harder to get that turning around. In fact, if we look at the YM here, you've got wave one, two, three. So here's your trend exhaustion. And this just pivots off of the upper end and it still manages to continue lower. But if this instead did something like this, where it broke the trend channel and then went up and formed a reversal pattern, like the 2T, that 2T would have a better chance of getting a strong impulse move where it can fully turn back around. Whereas if it hasn't broken the channel before it gives another trade, this could just as easily go into a trading range. It could go into a megaphone, it could go into even a bull flag. So there's a lot more indecision as to which way it's actually going to play out, and you'll have to be more aggressive with taking the setups on it. If you look for things like shifts in the momentum like this, where you got your trend exhaustion one, two, three, and you have something like a shift in momentum happening, that can give you a really early entry, but you're still again within that channel. So it means that it could flush this channel, take out the stops that people have above these previous highs, and then go and reverse. So it's just a matter of assessing what your risk is going to be when you're looking at taking something like a channel break like that, where you don't have the pattern setting up after the channel break. Your pattern is setting up within the trading channel itself. And so much of what we're seeing today is like that. We're seeing the setups that are still within that really strong trading channel. So the probability of full turnarounds is more difficult until you get to levels where you've got like comparable wave counts in your trends, where they also have comparable corrections and things like that. So let's go on this ES, I'll pull this back to a bigger time frame here. So this is actually a Phoenix setup that we saw triggering on our daily time frame. And what you'll notice is that here's where that channel breaks on the upside. The absolute reversal took place down here. We were calling it a momentum reversal plus at that time. And so when it came up here and broke the channel, that becomes a zone that you start to look for reversal patterns, where the odds of that reversal pattern following through with a brand new trend become higher. So this could have done one where it came down, went to a slightly lower low. This is called a 2B, and then triggered a reversal there, which would have been a very high probability setup because, again, it broke the channel here. What we saw happening instead on our ES is that it went into a Phoenix. And by breaking that channel and then going and doing your two-wave correction here, this created the bias setup over here. And we even get a tilted zone where you've got a kind of a tilted inverse head and shoulders that led to our breakout here. So again, channel break, then the reversal pattern, much higher probability that you're actually going to get into a really strong reversal of the trend, but that doesn't mean that it will be the best in terms of the absolute price you could have gotten for the reversal. There's just a greater risk that this could have come back down and hit a lower low before it even broke the uptrend channel. So that was something that we were really watching over here as the prices were coming down, was what is happening as it comes into that upper end of that trading channel. So currently, we're essentially coming out of that bigger Phoenix that takes the place of this inverse head and shoulders. So the zone that we're looking at right now is for this trying to do that 1-2-3. So going from your Phoenix to the 1-2-3, to the widening up zone. So we would be right about here on that pattern. And the key level that we've got to watch for right now is as this tries to continue here, you do not want this stalling at 50% of this impulse move. So on this impulse move, if this gets stuck at about 50% of that, there's a greater chance that it's going to struggle to put in that continuation. It would either need to go into a longer base like this or a longer base like this before it would have as high a probability of continuing with that impulse move right here. So pretty crucial level that we're coming into right now in terms of, hey, is this going to be able to really keep going with this momentum? And you don't want it getting stuck. Let me put that extension on there so you can see it. Kind of just widen this up a little bit more here. And I do predominantly use line charts, but in something like this where you're adding a Fibonacci extension, it can be really useful to go and use your candlestick charts so that you can see those extension levels. So here's the first extension, kind of looking at the bigger movement. And what you'll notice is that as this came up here, you're kind of seeing it get stuck a little bit under that 50%. So this was something that actually becomes a little bit of a concern as this was trying to break out. But it did manage to come up base again at 61.8% before it breaks. So that kind of negated things by allowing for a greater chop under here so that it could go and gain that momentum. But in many cases where it gets stuck at this 50%, it can have a really hard time breaking that 61.8, let alone getting to the 100%. It manages it here just because it has a much bigger setup and time frame in its favor. But in many cases, if that's the breakout that you're seeing and it's getting stuck like that, it's not going to make it to your 100%. Now, the other levels that we're looking at for the 100% resistance are this one here. So we're right at about 76.4% and also this one here. So looking at these levels for resistance are things that I always keep in mind. Now, at the one that we're at right now, what we want to do is we want to put that here. Let me show you. So in measuring our extension here, this is where the momentum picks up coming out of the breakout. And then we've got a true of correction into here. So for our fib price extension, we want to go from, let me draw it on and then I'll put it on there, the low here to the high here to the low here. And then watching that breakout. So let me put that on there. And this is where we need to really look at where it's getting stuck at. And what you'll notice is that it's right at that kind of crucial 50% level. So when we want something to go and do a measured move, what you want to see is that as this is coming out of here, the momentum is the same as over here, and it pushes through the 50% level of that first move. So if this is 50% here, what you want to see is for this to come up to about 61.8%, because what that does is it allows this to correct and then still manage to do a second portion to get to that bigger 100% level. So you're breaking it down into essentially smaller two-wave movements, and making it to 61.8 allows it to have a correction in here where the overall correction can be in the center. Whereas if it gets stuck right at the lower end of the 50% and then does a correction and tries to continue, well, your measured move on the continuation is going to get stuck more here. And that can also change the momentum of the channel so that you're being tilted more in this direction, which allows for corrections to come in more quickly. So that is something to watch for as, you know, we're heading here into the end of our day. And even as we go into next week, this is your daily time frame. So it is at a decent level of resistance, overall momentum still favoring the upside, but you got to watch for intraday shifts that could happen here, because you want to see it come up to the 61.8% without getting any of those red days coming in. Let's see, what else would you guys like to look at? I'm going to start with gold over here, because it's been something that we've been following in my live class here over the last couple of months. This is a really strong pattern that you guys are going to see over and over again too in many markets. In fact, I was teaching about it today. We get your two-wave move up. This is our leg. Here's your hip. Here's your kneecap. And then you're looking for things to go into a foot up here. Now, with the measured move here, we get a little bit of that shift in momentum, a pullback, it pops up, and then we start to see this tighter change in terms of distances between highs. This is something I call a false first high. And then as you pop up and we get the three waves here, that triggers a reversal. So this is another type of reversal pattern that you're going to see a lot coming off of the highs. The level that we were aiming for back here when it was starting to trigger was for it to come back down into this zone, which is another hip zone. We call that T3. T2 is your knee. And what we've seen here is that as that hit, we've got this nice little smaller inverse head and shoulders, and that's allowing for this to kind of bounce back up in here. And overall, this is your bigger widening up zone. So as you come into, you know, lower and upper ends of that channel, that becomes a good zone to look for reversal strategies on those smaller time frames. But the momentum coming out of them is what's going to determine, hey, is this going to really be able to break easily to a new high? You want to see this momentum remain on the same scale as over here and make it up to 50% of that move, push through the 50% so that you're getting up into the 61.8% price extension in order to have the best guarantee that, hey, that move is going to manage to put in a bigger measured move. So if this is your leg, here's your corrections, and then you're looking at this continuation, this is what we're looking at. We want to see on this continuation, not a stall at 50%, but for it to make it up to at least 61.8% of this rally. And that means that, oh, we can kind of keep buying into this even more. Even though it's already an extended trend, the odds are still higher that those little corrections are going to push it to the 100%. Whereas if that gets stuck and goes into, let's say, a range here, you need to look at what kind of pause you had happening over here. And you don't want that pause to last that same amount of time and then try to break higher, because you're going to end up more likely with it failing to give a really good continuation move and more likely to stay in that bigger trading range and kind of create traps on the upside. It could even end up going and creating a head and shoulders where it manages to go and reverse on the downside like that. So where this stalls is going to be really important in determining, hey, what's the next pattern that I can watch for? So if it stalls here, goes into a range, is this really going to be a good phoenix? Not as great, because you're going to have a greater risk, you know, things could shift, not really break and go to a full continuation on the upside. Where you could get a shift where it could go and break on the upside would be if this created a tilted inverse head and shoulders. So if this came up like this, here's your channel up here, you put your parallel channel here. If this managed to come up with some, you know, good momentum here and correct, looking at your spacing between your lows, that would be another good breakout zone for the upside. And you would be dealing with a tilted inverse head and shoulders. So that's another good time development level to watch for continuations on gold. And that would take quite a while for that one to develop, but it is something that currently is a good possibility, as long as the momentum here remains stronger and it goes into slower corrective action off of that high. So this becomes a really crucial level too, because with your three highs now, that's a good resistance zone. When something is coming out of a downtrend, this is your main impulse move up and you see this, well, even if it pulls back, it's still usually going to continue. But if this is in uptrend like this, and you see this happening, that third high has a better chance of holding and going and flipping things back around. So where that takes place in a bigger trend is also, you know, really important. But these are things that I'm looking for on gold as we go forward over the next 6 months or so, I guess you could say. So we just are coming off of the main target we were looking for on this correction. And now it's just giving us, you know, the bounce action coming out of that. Oil, you pull up oil here in the background. There's those three kind of highs. See how it's retesting that upper fib channel there that I was talking about earlier? That's our NASDAQ. So you can see that really doing that bouncing kind of up at that upper end of that channel. And that second 2T that I pointed out is playing out too. I'll come back to oil here just because I want to show you this since I called it as it was developing up here. So here's your 2T. So the first one, as we were going into classes right here, and then this is the second one. Now, if we look at where this is pulled back, it's again in the upper end of that kind of T2 kneecap area. So that means that your odds of breaking through the T3 zone are much more difficult. It's easier for this to continue with the chop. So if you got a 2T pattern, here's your 2T, this is the knee, here's your hip. So if this is pulling back into the knee zone, in order to get to the hip with really strong probability, you want your pullback to hit it to make it back into the middle of that knee. Then you've got a really good shot that it's going to come down at least to that hip zone. If, on the other hand, it gets stuck at the upper end of the knee, then it can still make it to the hip, but it's going to be harder. And you're going to want to watch that smaller measured move because it's easier for it to bounce back up. If it comes in and it goes through the knee before it stalls, then you're more likely to get a measured move that would come on down here, where you would get kind of a comparable trend channel flipped over. And we call that T4. So your hip is T3, knee is T2, and then the lower end of that megaphone is T4. So right here, we're at T3, really strong support level again, but a good example of how we get those 2Ts, but they're inside of that trading range. They're inside of that bigger trading channel. So cool that you guys got to see, you know, two of these setting up here during the class, but also learning to recognize what those risk factors are for them so that that can allow you to trade it properly with less risk. So here's the kneecap zone. So what you want to see is on your pullback, if it can make it into the middle of that kneecap, then you've got a better chance that it's going to make it down to this zone. If it gets stuck above that kneecap, and this one's a little tricky because it got kind of got paused right there, but if it gets stuck and comes like right down here and just hits the upper end of that kneecap and tries to bounce, it's very hard to make it through that T3 zone. And this is something where you might want to go and double check on your candlestick charts as well to see what's going on. So then you start to want to watch for the smaller measured moves as it's coming down and use those measured move targets as a better guideline for it. T4 on this would be about down here. So you're just looking at your channel kind of flipped over. There's some more advanced rules that we use for that too, but this is just your general idea here. Okay, let me go back to oil, you guys, gang, and we'll take a look at that one here. Just wanted to do the update on this since we were following that from that trigger zone. So oil kind of broke through a do or die point for continuation right here. Got a little bit of that momentum reversal, but overall, kind of slower channel, really strong impulse move here. Not really much for setup on 30 second chart. Let's go back this up. I'll start on our daily. So you know that false first high and then the 1, 2, 3 from earlier? Well, that is what happened here on oil as reverse. This was your false first low. And then we had the 1, 2, 3. So this has had me pretty bullish over the course of the last couple of weeks. And the resistance levels we're looking at is this is T2. So this is that kneecap zone. And we're right smack at that zone. T3 is up here, your hip zone. And that's the next major resistance. We do have a little bit of a shift coming in, but it's a narrowing channel. So when you've got a leg and you're coming in and your channel's narrowing, it increases the odds of these fake breakouts either way. It's actually a little bit better if your channel is widening up as it's forming reversal patterns. So you're less likely to get flushes that would take out the lower end of that channel and previous lows. So that's a little bit of a con here on that bigger time frame because we do have that narrowing that was coming in earlier this year, but still good reversal in here, good resistance in here right now. And we just need to see how it reacts to that resistance because ideally you'd only get really small pause here, essentially a smaller kneecap, and then you would get your measured move on the way back up. The con that is working against that is your pennant here. So if this was more of a widening megaphone, the odds of getting to this level would be very high without much of a stall. When it is a pennant instead of a megaphone, things can struggle. You can end up with it offering continuations. And even as it breaks the upper channel, more easily serving as a trap. So at this point, what I'm watching for on the intraday charts on oil are things that might end up developing into a better reversal pattern. Something that, you know, maybe like a little 2T or an avalanche, something like that, that could drive the selling back in again. It did pull in enough that it also creates that additional concern because if it pulls back more than a third, trying to get a continuation is going to be a lot trickier. It happens sometimes, but it's trickier. So you can see here, for example, pulls back more than a third, it really can't seem to make it up again. Here, it pulled back more than a third. It was still able to make it. But you end up with more examples like this, where it really can't get that trend going again. So that's something that is concerning as far as oil goes here right now. Let's see. I'll drop down a little bit smaller so you can see that channel break a little bit better here. This is actually that inverse head and shoulders that's tilted. This is what that looks like. So this is an example of it. And then you've got your measured move resistance up here. So very strong exhaustion level with that pattern. And it's going into the widening up zone now. So what are some other markets, you guys? What would you like to take a look at? Any stocks, Forex, whatnot? Yeah, a lot of teaching some of those nuances in there. I am gonna grab our trading view so we can look at some of these here on trading view. And what you'll see on that Tesla is that you've got that Phoenix here. So we have that pretty strong reversal pattern. But if we're looking at our time development, it's at a level where it is the halfway point. So a kind of more consistent Phoenix for continuation on the upside would have formed the base up here instead. So this runs the risk that this could go into a secondary correction in here, or even end up holding that zone as resistance and going into a bigger pullback. Because by having that lower level Phoenix, it changes the overall momentum of our channel. So if this had pulled up and done the two waves and come up here, you could have had more of that inverse head and shoulders so that your momentum on your channel would shift. So you would end up with a stronger overall trend channel than what we're seeing right now. So that's causing a little bit of a struggle here on Tesla as we're coming into, like the 123.6% price extensions, probably even a little bit further than that right now. Here's your measured move zone. And so you're probably around 138.2 or so. This is your hip. Here's your kneecap. So it got stuck right at the kneecap here. So Phoenix, hook up your 50% fib fan with here, and that gives you your 76.4% for the continuation on the upside. So very cautious on upside here at this point because there's just a better chance it could serve as a trap. Now, remember to go as a kneecap and to continue at that point, what you want to see is that on this breakout right now, it would need to keep going and get past that 50% in order to make it to the 100% easily. So anything that's kind of stalling and having a harder time under that 50% level, that means the odds of it making it to the 100% are going to be a lot more diminished. And you're going to run that risk of a bigger or longer correction before it would have another chance to try to move it up again. So that's what I would be watching right here is for any signs of it stalling and not continuing with the same momentum that you've got over here. So this would be your Phoenix into your 1, 2, 3, where it's trying to do part two. Part one is the rally, and then three is the rally coming out of it. And then that would have a widening up zone up here. All right, gang, let me show you something here. For those of you that are interested and you want to learn more about this strategy, that triggered the move here on Tesla, as well as the other movements here that we saw intraday. And it is a 3-week trading course that is on demand now. And you'll actually get access to my League of Traders room throughout the end of the month from noon to 1 o'clock every single day, too, where we're going to be discussing this strategy in even greater detail. So you'll get to see many, many examples like what I talked about here today, but also as they are developing. So it is a 3-week course where there are three on-demand sessions right now. So you can see it started last month, but everything is available on demand. And don't feel badly if you missed out on the live classes that were held on Saturdays, because you can go and watch every single one of these weeks, as well as then go and join me in the trading room as early as tomorrow, actually, to see how these are playing out and developing intraday. So, does anyone have any questions? I know I covered a lot of stuff really quickly in a very short period of time, but I hope you had the chance to see some of them and realize, hey, you know what? I'm seeing the same type of things in my own trading as well. All right, you guys. Well, thank you all for having me here. And I'll stick around for a few minutes if you do have any questions. But otherwise, I'm going to turn this back over to David. So, David, thanks again for having me. And I appreciate, being able to have the time to teach you a little bit about what I've learned over the last 25 years or so of trading. Hopefully it'll be another good 25 still, right?